movie about coal mining now. I'm fascinated with this now, Z. I'm just typing it in now. You wouldn't believe these old black and white photos that come up, especially motherfuckers. The goal of coal mining is to obtain coal from the ground. No shit. Mm-hmm. Who writes these articles? A baby. Welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 18, everybody. I'm your host, Phenomenal One, MoviesPostPodcast.com. You know the drill.
This is Z, thefancritic.com, and award-winning writer and director.
Wow, that came out of nowhere, but alright. Oh. This is Phenomenal One, the most phenomenal man, best in the world, that you could ever possibly look at. I mean, look at me. Oh, by the way, Z, I forgot about it. You remember yesterday when we was talking, whatever? Do you want those pictures now or later?
Never.
Never, why not?
I like our relationship now. I don't want to see more of TPO.
Why not? You know, dude, I'm trying to show you how proud I am that she actually let me film it, like right away.
Because I think I'll feel sorry for myself.
Why would you feel sorry for yourself? She's a beautiful young woman, and I'm a even better looking man than she is. But
I hope you're a better looking man than she is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's hot and everything, but look at me. I'm beautiful.
So that was the real number you got?
Yeah, it actually was, or whatever.
That's funny. I know, right? We have a radio station here that, girls give out, like, fake numbers, and they call it, like, an answering machine, and they call it the loser line.
Is that, like, a real radio station, or just, like, a segment on a radio
station? It's a segment on a station.
Oh, that sounds badass.
And they just replay these people's messages they leave.
Mm-hmm. So like, what did they be saying? Just like, you know,
oh, stupid stuff. He goes, hey, girl, I saw you at the we met at the grocery store. You were looking fine.
Wait a minute, that sounds familiar. Oh. Never mind, let me shut up. Hey, girl. Hey, bitch, well, fuck you then. Shit, time to move on to the next one now.
Thankfully, I've never gotten a fake number.
I've never gotten a fake number neither, so I would know what that feels like, to be honest, because I know damn well I'd be like, that fucking bitch. Mm-hmm. My life is like Don John.
Finishing in fourth place?
He finished in fourth place?
Yeah.
No, actually, he was fifth, but hey, he made his budget back and then some, though. So, hey, that's fine with me. $3 million budget, making $10 million? That's a lot.
Oh, I thought I finished in fourth.
I think I came in fifth, actually.
It did come in fifth. Baggage Claim beat it. What the fuck?
Hey, man, that black audience, they gotta go see that, man.
Well, plus Paul Patton's hot as hell.
That black audience, they gotta go see it. I felt sorry for Lehu. He had to go sit there by himself, like, the only white guy in the crowd and shit.
Oh my god, when I went to see Rush yesterday, I was like, I went by myself because no one would go with me. Because they're like, what's Rush? I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, and I the theater was filled with old people. I think I was the youngest one there, and I'm 32.
Oh my fucking god, what the hell? You know, it must be because of Ron Howard's name, that's why.
Yeah,
I would imagine. Chris Hemsworth brings in some kind of younger audience in there. I mean, shit, the dude is Thor, for God's sakes, every woman wants him. But I had my ass in there, I was in there for him, I was just like, crying on Thor, but, yeah, you know.
I started clapping and no one else did, I'm like, fuck you guys. They probably couldn't hear the movie, their hearing aids weren't turned up.
Did you see an IMAX?
No, we don't have an IMAX theater in Toledo.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Nope.
Oh my god.
Yep. Nope.
Nope. Can't come back out there.
The closest one is, I think, about 45 minutes?
45 minute drive?
Yeah.
Without traffic?
Without traffic.
Damn.
Well, it's probably about anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes total.
I guess that's not that bad.
No, it's not bad. You just gotta go up to Michigan.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, movie. Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's,
hey, like, I made a spur-of-the-moment decision with my ex-wife, and we went to go see Inception in IMAX, and that was well worth it.
See, that's well worth it, but it's something like, you know, I mean, Rush, I love that movie. Best movie of the year, but at the same time, would I go drive 40 minutes just to see it in IMAX? I mean, it ain't gonna make that much of a difference.
It wouldn't?
For me, it wouldn't, because, you know, the movie is more of a character-based movie, as far as, like, not Inception. Inception is, like, this fucking sci-fi. Inception is, like, you know, shit, that's something that needs to be seen in IMAX 3D. Which,
yeah, it does.
Like, once again, Avatar. I mean, I don't care for the movie, but, like, do you see that in IMAX, or do you see it on a regular screen? You can see it in IMAX or whatever, because, shit, it's amazing or whatever, but, you know, Rush is more of a character piece.
Mm-hmm.
But, not going to take you out of the movie.
No, but I haven't seen many IMAX movies.
Yeah, well, you ain't missing much. I mean.
No, I mean, if I don't know what's coming out soon, it's going to be an IMAX. I think Thor is.
Yeah. D-Box is where it's at, my friend. D-Box.
We don't have a D-Box.
I know, I was trying to explain. I think I was trying to tell it either Husky or Jordan or whatever, but I was telling them, D-Box with the moving seats and shit.
Oh, where you feel like you're in the movie?
That shit was awesome in Inception.
Did they have that rush?
No, they only have, we had two theaters out here that had it. It was at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood, but that theater became more of, for events and premieres and shit like that now, whatever, so they kind of took the technology out of it. So now we only have it by, in Anaheim, by Disneyland or whatever. That's the only theater in California, well, in the area of L.A. or Orange County area of L.A. that has it. And I'm like, oh, man, I'll be sending people there all the time just so they don't close down, because I'm like, oh.
I think Rush would be awesome in that.
Oh, Rush would be a fucking amazing. The driving scenes, too, whatever, be perfect, whatever. Especially since Ron Howard wants to put you in there. But, you know, it costs a lot more to go see him. I think it's, a $22 ticket just to see it. But, honestly, it's well worth it.
Okay.
For Inception, man, oh, man, that shit was amazing in IMAX D-Box.
No, that was something I would love to experience. Because they're going to, probably improve. They're probably going to add something new within, the next year or two.
Yeah, D-Box is definitely a dying technology or whatever. I mean, I don't know why 3D is succeeding and D-Box is dying.
Dare I ask how much tickets are for that?
Yeah, I mean, you know what, yeah, ticket, but you know what, 3D fucking tickets out in California are damn near $15 to $20. I mean, shit, that's the same as a D-Box ticket. I'm like, fucking difference.
Well, when I went to the theaters yesterday, it was matinee, and matinee is usually $7.50, and Rave Cinemas out here just got bought out by Cinemark. And I don't go to the desk. I use their one of their automated machines.
Yeah.
And it was $8. I'm like, what the fuck? And I looked up at their scrolling machine, and it says it's matinee is now $8, and the first showing of the day before 6 p.m. is $5. I'm like, shit.
Well, shit, you come to a matinee in one of the nice theaters in L.A., that's just $13.50, so. So, I mean, I ain't gonna really make no comparisons here or anything like that, but people, if you live near a D-Box theater, please, go check whatever movie you can go see in D-Box. I saw Avengers in 3D D-Box. Oh my god, that was so much fun.
Go see Baggage Claim in D-Box.
Go see the butler in 3D-Box. See that nigga get whipped and shit with that chain or whatever, and then I see them chairs rock back and shit.
Well, maybe if they show the butler in D-Box, maybe a black butler will serve you.
You know what they should have did for marketing purposes in D-Box for the butler? They should have gave you a whip. Here's your complimentary whip. Be sure not to hit anyone, sir. There you go.
Well, what if they had, the ushers, all black ones, obviously, and
what
just...
if they separated the people, black and white
people? Make them feel like they're at home?
and what if they gave you outfits to wear, too?
Oh, my God.
You want to experience a real experience of the theater. Black people, you go, your outfits are in there, and the white people are in there, and then the white people come out in suits and shit. Black people are like, hey, what the fuck?
Oh, my God, that'd be so fucking funny.
that'd be experience right there. You know what? If I ever become a billionaire...
You will.
I'm open up a theater.
I see it in the future. You will.
Man, I'm going to open up a theater, and me and you are going to work there, we're going to have that night. We're just going to show slave movies, and we're going to have people dress up like how they should be and segregate them.
You know what you should do? Get a stage. I think it's called Shadow Performance.
Shadow. Oh, yeah!
Have, roots.
Academy Award winner Denzel Washington, Samuel.
He won't lower himself.
Hell no, he wouldn't even do Fast and Furious. What the hell make they do? Oh yeah, we Morgan Freeman.
He'll narrate.
He'll narrate. Yeah. In 1976, the black and whites finally got together, but little did we know, the whites still hated us.
Oh.
Oh, but anyway.
But before we start, I want to give a little, that the first trailer for my movie is up.
Oh, yeah?
New Blood Rising. You can look up New Blood Rising on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday. I would say last night. Yeah, yesterday, before I saw Don John again.
And you liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it a lot or whatever. I thought some of the effects in it looked pretty good, I must say, whatever. Especially Kayla's teeth at the end of the trailer.
Yeah, those
that's real.
Those were the retractable teeth that you flick your tongue around over the roof of your mouth, and they come down and do it again. They go up.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen those in person. So, like, just, like, put them on, like, dentures or some shit like that?
Yeah, they mold to your teeth.
Really?
Yep, so you can keep reusing them and no one else can use them because they're molded to your teeth only.
Oh, where'd you get those from?
They ordered them off vampfangs.com.
Ah, okay, nice, or whatever. Yeah, okay, tell Kayla she can bite on me anytime she wants or whatever. I don't care where.
Okay.
Only if I can bite back, baby.
But the movie's almost done. I've got like a few more weeks left, and when it's released, you should definitely get a copy and review it on your show.
You should send a link for the trailer so I can post it up with this week's episode as well.
I will.
Oh, you know, you don't have to. I can just look it up myself. I just tell you to send me a link.
you're just trying to make me do all your work.
It's like, if I want to have you send the link, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm doing it. Never mind. Are you talking about this movie on your side at all?
I try not to, because I don't want to show favoritism.
Because favoritism, it's just...
Well, it's... I don't know, because it feels like I'm trying to stay, like, keep it separate.
I can understand where you're coming from. Maybe you could just put another tab on there and say my projects or something. I don't know.
Well, I have an iOpen Pictures tab, like I have you for a partner.
Yeah.
And it goes directly to all of your shows and Throwback Tuesday shows and your website. Yeah. And I have one for iOpen Pictures, and it has a link to all the movies. But the only thing I did on there is when the Indiegogo one. But
you know, I guess that does make sense, or whatever, because you know you don't want to. I can see, like, you when you make a site or whatever, the site isn't about you.
Yeah.
So you're trying to keep it from off being that. So I can see where that comes from.
Yeah, I just don't want to show favoritism and try to, you know, I would promote it like crazy, but I just don't want to. I want to keep it separate.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, that makes sense then.
Yes.
You should be promoting the hell out of that though. But anyway, today people,
I'm trying.
we're here talking about From Dusk Till Dawn. I forgot when it came out. Was it 96 or 7?
I want to say 97.
96. You know, I got the goddamn page up.
96.
I think I deleted it.
It was 96.
Okay, yeah, I did. Got it. January 1996. Wow, that was a January film?
But I swear, I was so excited because I thought Sin City won. Because everyone knows how Crow is to you. Sin City is that's to me.
Crow is the best movies of the 90s, and if anyone ever disagrees with me, I'll chop your fucking balls off and hand them to your partner.
But I was so excited. I'm like, I'm so excited to be doing this, and you're like, what are you talking about?
The Crow is a goddamn masterpiece, and if you can't appreciate that masterpiece, then I will chop your fucking balls off. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, though, yeah. From Dusk Till Dawn, how about a plot synopsis? Go ahead and jump into this bad boy.
From Dusk Till Dawn came out in January 1996, directed by Robert Rodriguez, wrote by Quentin Tarantino, starring George Clooney, Harvey Keitel, Juliet Lewis, Quentin Tarantino, Salma Hayek, Cheech Marin.
This was back when Salma Hayek was in her prime. How old were you, Z, when you saw this?
I saw it when it came on DVD or VHS at the time. I think I was about 15, 16.
Let's see, I was probably about 10 or 9, probably, in 96. So I was about 9 or whatever, and I remember I saw this. I think this was the first movie I got a boner to when I saw Salma Hayek. That's when I saw Salma Hayek giving that goddamn tape. I was like, god damn, she's got... That's back when she was a perfect whore. Now she's thinking she's classy and shit like that. I was like, she's got rules and shit now.
But the budget was $20 million estimated, and box office was $25.8.
Wow, that's it?
That's it.
I would imagine at the time, well, even though George Clooney and Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, the three of these, man, at that time, 96, they were... Wait a minute, when did Batman and Robin come out?
I want to say it was 98.
Yeah, okay, then never mind. Anyway. But I'm sure they probably heard about him cast before, but at the same time...
Do you think they did it 2 years ahead of time?
Well, it takes almost a year and a half.
Oh, it was 97. So that's a year, so he probably was casted.
Yeah, so, I mean, it takes a year just to fucking put that in production as well, whatever stuff, so I'm assuming, so if it was 97, then yeah, dude, damn, was that long ago? Fuck.
But Clooney was really, wasn't a name besides ER when but this came out. People liked him a lot, but this was his, I mean, this was his start, was this movie. He was in, like, you know, Killer Tomatoes and all that stuff, but this was his start movie. Because after this is where he broke away from ER and started doing all these Hollywood movies. So Rodriguez and Tarantino made Clooney who he is today. That's my opinion.
I wouldn't go that far now.
That's my opinion.
I wouldn't go that far now. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say that now. I can't say that. No. That guy was a big TV star. He was huge or whatever. He was in everything coming up, whatever, at the time, whatever. I mean, he did a lot of shit or whatever. I mean, my fucking folks used to watch his ass like he was a goddamn the next thing coming. Well, you look at him now, he is the next thing coming. He still is coming or whatever. And shit.
He is, and he still looks the same.
I know.
How is that? He still has the gray hair.
And he was dating Stacy Keebler, that former wrestler. Oh my god!
Not then, but
shit. I mean, she's like what your age, right?
Maybe a year or two older.
Is he still dating her? Or they just broke
no, up? They broke up.
He was hitting that man.
He's you can name. He's probably tapped so much Hollywood ass.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Like that dude is pushing over 50 or whatever, and he's like he's walking on a red carpet with Stacy. I'm just looking at him like. That motherfucker, he just brought her to show off and shit.
Dude, he does not care. He's never going to get married.
Because he doesn't need to. Oh, my God. Like, that dude is... He's fucking awesome. I like that. That guy is... Man, every man wants to be him and every woman wants to fuck him. He's literally the white Denzel Washington for you guys.
He is. Yes.
You guys have so many of them, though. You got Leonardo DiCaprio, you got George Clooney, you got Brad Pitt. I mean, you got so many of them.
Well, Brad Pitt's taken.
Yeah, which I don't blame him. But his wife's lips are just fucking perfect. I want to put those... Anyway,
John Stamos? I'm going to throw John Stamos' name in that one. Did you say you love black folks?
That, too.
Oh, okay.
I said I love his wife, but I love black folks, too, at times. I'm sorry, I was looking at coal mining pictures again. that's actually a white picture. He's just covered in coal, so he looks.
People
black,
have
so.
No idea why we're talking about coal mining.
Well, they'll get it. They'll understand soon enough or whatever. But I remember I saw this movie when I was about 8 or 9 or whatever. Grandma made me watch it.
Made you watch it?
Yeah, well, she used to watch all the violent movies I know, whatever it is, because I saw Grandma watch them. I'd just sit there and watch them, and she would just sit there and be like, don't leave. You can't leave in the middle of a movie, or she'd make you watch them, so.
Mm-hmm. And this was Rodriguez's, I would say, which one do you think was a bigger hit? Desperado from Dusk Till Dawn. Desperado had Selma Hayek naked.
Yeah, and a sex scene.
And an awesome fight scene, too.
And a badass Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
But at the same time, well, which one made more money?
I'm checking Desperado right now. It was pretty much even. I mean, Dusk Till Dawn made a little bit more, probably just a couple million more.
I think one that has more recognition is from Dusk Till Dawn, but I think Desperado is known for one of Selma Hayek's, you know.
people remember that because of that.
Don't forget that shit, because I didn't jerked off to that scene so many goddamn times, bro. Man, when she was on I said, good lord, Selma Hayek. And that was like, when I was growing up, that Selma Hayek was like, you know, that was the higher echelon.
Like Angelina Jolie, or not Angelina, who's like the hot one now?
Angelina Jolie was like early 2000s, mid 2000s, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever. And now it's been replaced, I guess, with
Scarlett?
Yeah, I would assume Scarlett Johansson right now is probably the hottest thing out right now.
Yeah, Scarlett's probably one of the top ones.
Yeah, so Scarlett, a lot of people thought it was going to be Megan Fox, but then people realized she sucked. She's kind of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
People realized she was kind of a bitch or whatever when she treats her fans like shit and stuff like that, whatever. And it's like, fuck her. She has no right to be a bitch when she can't act. I mean, come on, you should be the most humble person ever.
No, she needs to do nudity.
She really does, whatever. But you know what? She doesn't like being labeled as a sex symbol. Whoops. Even though she's actually a whore in every movie she does.
Was she?
She does.
Well, she wasn't a whore in Transformers.
That's the fuck she was, or whatever. She was a whore in Transformers. She didn't want to do Transformers because she said Michael Bay is a sexist and he films women's sex and sex symbol ways, or whatever. Granted, I agree with her, but at the same time, bitch, once you left Transformers, what was the movies you went to go do? You were a whore in each one of them.
Jonah Hex,
what were you? You was a fucking burlesque whore.
Passion Play, which I think she was a stripper.
That vampire movie you did, what were you? You was a fucking vampire whore. What about that movie that came out last year she did with what's that guy's name? This is 40 or something like that. She played an escort. So, I mean, it's like...
And now she's playing April O'Neil.
Yeah, so it's like, you a whore, girl. Just, I mean, you a sex symbol. Just shut the fuck up and just go ahead. I mean, if you want to be ugly, then go beat yourself up a couple of times. Go do a Rihanna effect. Go date Chris Brown for real quick or whatever. And, you know. But don't sit up here and tell me that Michael Bay films you as a sex symbol. Bitch, you take sex symbol roles.
Yeah.
To non-acting ass, whatever. But anyway, from Dust Till Dawn. What was your first impression when you saw this movie? Because when I saw this, man, I remember I was like, wow, this is interesting but boring at the same time. I was like, I don't really give a shit about this family or anything like that. And then when the shit started to happen, I was like, damn, that came out of nowhere, and I like it.
I agree with you. There was after the opening convenience store scene, that's where it kind of got boring, even with the family, which I agree with you that I didn't really care for any of them, even Harvey Keitel, which is a shame.
Yeah, I didn't like the family even whatsoever throughout the whole film. I mean, like, I thought even the Asian, I thought that was a little weird. I was like, I don't get that part or whatever. But the opening scene with the whole grocery store, with the store, I was like, I like this or whatever. I mean, if the movie wouldn't have turned into what it became, I probably would have still liked watching these, because it could have been like something like a Butch and Sundance or something like that. Like, these two criminals are on the road from cops or whatever, and just seeing them do the shit that they did. Because that store scene was pretty fucking awesome with them, whatever. Especially with George Clooney talking as this dude is shooting him. He's like, all right, I'm going to give you about a couple of seconds. He just lights this toilet paper on fire and just throws it. And he's like, and he was talking to Quentin. He's like, now when I count to three, you're going to shoot the bottles out in the back. And he just throws that shit. And they just walk away all calm and shit like they've done this before. And I was like,
you okay? He shot me in the fucking head. Like I told you, he said help us. I never said help us.
Well, it doesn't matter now because you got about 2 fucking seconds to live.
Did you Did you get the impression that Clooney was the only likable character in the whole movie?
Yeah,
because I didn't like Richie.
I didn't like anybody. I think once the shit hit the fan, it just became kind of comical with the characters they had in there or whatever. Like Sex Machine, I was just like, every time they just say that name, I just laugh or whatever. I mean, like that. I don't really know about this guy. I don't know any of these people, or whatever. Or the black guy, or whatever. He's like, oh, Sex Machine, you fucking bit me. Come on, sucker. He's like a fucking black kung fu leader or something. The way he kept throwing his head.
Fucking bit me.
What are you gonna do about it?
Come on, Sex Machine.
Yeah, it's Fred Williamson, who's he was a B movie actor, top bill.
Yeah,
I did like original gangsters and stuff.
This felt like a B movie though.
It did. It really did. I mean, the vampires looked weird.
Yeah, they did. They look. You ever seen that movie, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight?
Yeah.
That's what they kind of reminded me of, those demons, and it was this one. Except I was like, yeah, they both on the cheesy kind of level, TV level.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the vampires looked extremely weird, and then when Sex Machine turned into a vampire and he got his head pulled off, then he turned into like a big rat.
Yeah, exactly, or whatever. Well, the thing was, when they got bit, like Sex Machine and the black guy, they turned into different kinds of vampires. I was like, why would they turn into better looking vampires?
Yeah.
I was like, well, cause, you know, maybe the budget. I don't. It's 96. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt at that time.
The budget was, I mean, the special effects were good, especially when Harvey Keitel got his face blown off.
Yeah.
That looked actually really, really good.
You know, it was effective for the time. I mean, because we're bad-mouthing it right now, but I didn't sit there going like, oh, that looks fucking horrible. Oh, it's God, it's taking me out of the movie. I never once did that or whatever. I just noticed that it looks cheesy, but it's not a real complaint for me.
No, I'm not either, because obviously we know that if it happened now, it would blow us away.
Yeah, because look at TV shows like The Walking Dead, the fucking zombies in there look damn near perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, shit. I mean, I never... maybe I need to go back on an episode, but from as far as I can tell, I remember I've never seen not one bad looking zombie where I was like, oh, that looks horrible or whatever. And it's like, why would they do that or whatever? I'm like, that's a TV show. The budget ain't they fucking high on there or whatever, and it looks great. But no, I would completely agree. George Clooney was the only interesting character in here. It's just because at times he could be that nice, calm, controlled guy, but then time he would kind of lose his shit. Like that part where that fat dude touched him, and you thinking like he's gonna go have a drink with the father of this family, and they're just sitting down talking, and he's just like slam that. He's like, I'm gonna go take this fucking bottle and smash it over his big fucking melting head. And I was like, I kind of like that George Clooney.
I'm still stewing about that ape laying his hand on me.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna finish this bottle. And when I'm finished, I'm gonna take this bottle and I'm gonna bust it over his melon fucking head.
He was a badass George Clooney. He played the bad guy, but he was likable.
Mm-hmm. He plays a bad guy very well. I gotta give him that.
He does, like, and he was a fun character, and he was confident and cocky. Mm-hmm. He was like exactly what you want for a lead guy.
Mm-hmm. He was really good. Now I was just looking at, and the thing was, when he said that scene of that bottle battle, I don't know, I gotta lie. I was like, whoa, it got kind of hot in here right now. George Clooney just dropped my panties right now. Shit, how does he do that? That's what I was like, how does he do that? I'm naked already.
Like right before they met the family, they kidnapped that bank teller.
Yeah,
and Seth Clooney, walks, you know, goes away, and then he's stuck with Richie, who's played by Quentin Tarantino, and then when he gets back, Tarantino raped and killed but why didn't they show it? They just showed, like, little quick clips.
I'm gonna imagine, because at the time, you know, they don't want to show rape, but at the same time, this is Robert Rodriguez. I mean, if you see some of the shit he's done sometimes, whatever, it's just like... But then again, he went and did Spy Kids, too, so I guess... He tried not to probably go over the limit of pushing that. It's like, we don't need to show you. It's just, you know what happened, because this guy, I mean, you saw the news story. He's a right. I mean, personally, I wouldn't have had a problem with it, whatever, but I know how some people can get. I mean, shit, people got pissed off that a movie was called Kick-Ass.
What was wrong with him? What was wrong with Tarantino, with Richie?
He was a not a pedophile, but he was a sexual offender.
A deviant?
Yeah, he even said it, like, in the report. He really was a sex offender. That was what he was in trouble for, mainly.
Because... He, at the beginning with the grocery store, he kept saying the clerk was mouthing to the shift, to the ranger, help us, and he never did.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if he was, like, seriously, like, sick in the head. Because Seth always believed Richie, no matter what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
Except when he killed the bank teller, because he kept saying she tried to escape, and...
Because they're brothers, and obviously they look nothing like... But yeah, that bank teller thing, because that bank thing, that was obvious... Because he kept telling Seth, he's like, she tried to escape, so you know I have to put it in. He's just like, I don't think she would try to escape the locked door with you standing right there or whatever. What did you do? And that scene where he grabbed Quentin Tarantino by the face and was just like hitting him in the face and shit, I was just like, man, George Clooney's a scary motherfucker at the same time. It's like, he's a great actor. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now, whatever. Even with that head wobbling thing he was doing back in the day, in this movie too as well, whatever. But just to see him be in this calm demeanor kind of guy to the part where, like, he grabs his brother and just, like, having this twitch effect on him, like, where he's, like, ready to snap and shit, even to the point where Quentin Tarantino, who's supposed to be the sadistic one out of the two, he's even kind of nervous. He's like, okay, man, just get out of my face right now, whatever, and shit, you know? I mean, there's so many, like, layers and elements to George Clooney's character. Is just like, he's an interesting character. I want to follow this guy wherever they go.
He was, and I kind of wish they, you know, spawned the sequels around Seth, but
yeah,
they didn't.
That would have been awesome, actually, whatever, because the sequels...
Or at least, or possibly even Kate.
Yeah, I could see that. Maybe her and, it could have came all around in the third one. Maybe her and Seth met back up or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, because I still see Clooney maybe coming back to this, because Rodriguez is an accomplished director. Tarantino is an accomplished writer.
I don't think he'd come back now to this.
You don't think?
No, hell no. This, like you said, this is B level. He would never do B level shit like this now.
Okay.
Now, especially after the movies. Even with his small releases, whatever, those movies are like fucking fantastic as far as like The American. Oh my God. That man blew me away in that movie. I was just like, I love the slow place of this guy learning to build, and that this guy just creates weapons and shit like that or whatever. Gravity? I'm not even gonna.
That's gonna be nominated for an Oscar.
I know damn well he ain't going back to shit like this or whatever with Gravity. After seeing that movie, I'm like, yeah, that ain't happening. Dusk Till Dawn, this is a movie like, this is something to get you off the ground.
This, yeah, okay, I understand that. Or kind of like, because Juliette Lewis, this was before, I want to say, Natural Born Killers. Mm-hmm. But she never really made a name for herself. Harvey Keitel was already a name. Mm-hmm. Juliette Lewis really hasn't done a lot. No. Even at, I know Natural Born Killers came out in 94, so she was kind of a name. But after this, she kind of died down. Besides that, I mean, Tarantino, he just does his own thing. Harvey Keitel, he does certain stuff. Salma Hayek became a huge star. Danny Trejo, obviously, is Machete, but he's always going to be the guy you
Mexican
always...
Mexican stereotype.
And you can say the same thing about Cheech Marin.
Yeah, which his part in the movie had me dying. I'm not gonna
which
lie.
Which one? He had three characters.
A yellow pussy.
Yellow pussy, pink pussy, purple pussy.
Alright, pussy, 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 come on in, pussy lovers! Here at the Titty Twister, we're slashing pussy in half! Give us an offer on our vast selection of pussy! This is a pussy blowout! Alright, we got white pussy, black pussy, Spanish pussy, yellow pussy, we got hot pussy, cold pussy, we got wet pussy, we got smelly pussy, we got hairy pussy, bloody pussy, we got snapping pussy, we got silk pussy, velvet pussy, nalga high pussy, we even got horse pussy, dog pussy, chicken pussy, come on, you want pussy, come on in, pussy lovers, if we don't got it, you don't want it, come on in, pussy lovers, attention, pussy shoppers, take advantage of our penny pussy sale, if you buy one piece of pussy at the regular price, you will get another piece of pussy of equal or lesser value for only a penny, try and be pussy for a penny, if you can find cheaper pussy anywhere, fuck it.
We got it, wet pussy, dry pussy, smelly pussy.
kitty pussy, dog pussy.
And then his line, he's like, we got pussy here for a penny, and if you find it anywhere any cheaper, fuck it.
And he breaks the fourth wall.
That was awesome, yeah, because he's looking right at the camera. He's like, if you find pussy cheaper than a penny, then you need to fuck it.
Then he played the border cop.
I didn't like that scene, though. After he got done with the whole pussy thing, I didn't like that scene with Tarantino hitting. I was like, what?
Oh, when he was kicking him after Clooney already punched him?
Yeah, because Clooney already fucking broke his goddamn fingers and shit, because he was trying to put his hands on Clooney. Clooney broke his fucking fingers and then just punched him like three times. Then Tarantino comes over and starts kicking him and just talking. I was like, how you doing? How's it going? I was just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I know. I think it just proved that Tarantino's a pussy.
Yeah, not only did it prove he was a pussy, I was just like, I don't know if they're trying to set him up as a psychopath, but I can't get it, because when you have lines like how you doing? What is it? It's like, what the fuck does that even got to do with anything right now, whatever, and shit, like, whatever you're saying right now, like, I don't mind you kicking him, but, you know, doing cheap shots and shit, but whatever lines you were just saying, which I'm sure you wrote those for yourself, Tarantino, it didn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah, and Marin played Carlos, who was the guy Seth and Tarantino were waiting for.
Yeah, who was also played.
So Cheech Marin really opened up his acting range to play three characters.
You know, Cheech Marin, I got to tell him that he also had that ending was a funny line too. He's like, oh, I thought, were they psychos? And then Clooney punched him. He's like, do they look like fucking psychos? He was like, psychos do not fucking explode when sunlight hit them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are. That was the best line in the movie. I remember I recorded that because he used to play on TV a lot when I was a child. I recorded that one time because I was just like, he's like, psychos do not explode. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are. I had to get that line. I used to replay that shit in class all the time. I was like, that line is awesome.
Yeah.
Because what kind of line was that? He's like, he opens up the door and sees like people exploding and shit, and they look like demons, right? And he's just like, were they psychos? And Clooney gave him this look at him like,
what's the matter with you? Are you crazy?
Why, out of all of the godforsaken shitholes in Mexico, do we have to meet here?
What, were they psychos? Or?
They look like psychos? Is that what they look like? They were vampires. Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are.
Do they look like fucking psychos? Would that be your first answer? You see motherfuckers blowing up through the sunlight and be like, P1, what happened? Was those psychos or something like that?
I think I would have done the same exact thing as Clooney did.
Punched him in the face and said, "Cycles don't explode." I don't give a fuck.
How and I love is. That he tried to blame Carlos that he knew that was a vampire bar. I didn't like that.
Well, he was like, because his first after he punched him, people was like, "Why'd you hit me?" He's like, "Out of all the godforsaken fucking places in Mexico, you had to pick this one or whatever." It is kind of fun because I didn't. You say you hate it. I didn't hate it. There ain't nothing to hate about. Whatever. It is at the point where, okay, how long this fucking bar has been here? I mean, what, these vampires just now decided to come out? I mean, there has been some kind of reports.
Well, they showed, I mean, when they did the fadeaway shot, and you saw, like, the cliff behind the bar, you saw all that shit. So it's obviously been around forever.
Exactly, so they've never had this outbreak that they had until Clooney got here or whatever. Like, they just randomly decided to become vampires or whatever now and just attack the town or whatever. I mean, like you said, they've been there forever, so I'm assuming someone had to have some. And it's Mexico, too. They got all kind of fucking myths and mythologies down there. El Tupacabre.
Yeah.
So blaming him more, I'm just like, why the fuck did you pick this place? I would have punched his ass, too, whatever, because I'd been pissed off, whatever. I'd been like, you could have picked any goddamn place, and you picked this goddamn hellhole. I could have been eaten.
Yeah, I love that. Remember when Clooney asked the bartender, Danny Trejo, he goes, "Do you got the food?" He goes, "Best in Mexico." I highly doubt that.
Did you see the look on Danny Trejo's face?
Yes.
That was awesome. Where,
that was Danny a good Trejo line. Huh?
Danny Trejo didn't age neither. He still looks old.
No, but you're right though. He's always gonna play that stereotype.
Yeah, he just plays the Mexican stereotype, whatever. And you know, so I mean, I wish he'd get away from that because you know.
And you think about it, like who would ever cast Cheech Marin to play three characters in a movie besides Rodriguez and Tarantino?
Nobody.
Yeah. Nobody. I mean, Cheech Marin's not terrible.
No, he wasn't bad. As a matter of fact, he was part of my favorite lines in the movie or whatever.
I mean, I liked him in the movie Tin Cup. He's not a bad actor. He's kind of, like, likable, but I don't see any director in the world casting for three parts.
He's a B-level actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a bad thing, neither. Those are the fun movies, you know, the B-level movies, whatever and stuff.
And he's a fun guy. I mean, exactly. He's always going to be known as Cheech and Chong, so...
He's likable, because, you know, he can smoke a doobie with you and then take a ride on the fucking mystery machine or something like that.
But he's always going to be that guy. Like, Danny Trejo is going to be that guy. Tom Savini, who played Sex Machine, is always going to be that guy.
Oh, hell yeah, whatever.
Tom Savini looks pretty good. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. He looks pretty good.
That shit was hilarious when that fucking pistol popped out of his fucking dick, though. I was like, hey,
okay, he steals that one guy's drink.
Yeah.
The guy pulls out a knife, and then he looks at his crotch, and the gun comes out. I'm like, the guy with the knife has a better angle to stab you than you to shoot him.
I don't know. I think he could just stand him and blow his, 'cause that gun was big. How does that gun work?
I don't know. Did he just, like, does he, like, push a button, or does he just randomly look down, and or does he get a hard on, and the gun pops up?
I was about to say, is it all in the dick? I'm curious how that works, because he shot that vampire chick that tried to attack him, and he's like, what the fuck? And it opened up and just shot her ass. So I was like, damn, that little gun was packing some heat. But
it looked like a shotgun.
It pretty much damn near was, because the cylinder hole around there, everything, it was pretty wide. I was like, damn, what bullets are he sticking in that motherfucker? He putting Desert Eagle bullets and shit in there?
I wonder if he got his dick removed and had a gun put in there.
He lost his dick in battle, and that, and he replaced it with a gun.
Kind of like the other Rodriguez movie, Planet Terror, where she has the gun as the leg.
Yeah. Rodriguez. You know what? That's probably one of his traits. He always putting a fucking gun in some weird-ass place or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so what did you think of the movie after the before the vampire scene? Because that's where it happens. People, they go to this bar and become vampire. But the whole thing with the family thing when they got introduced, I was just like,
I didn't like you said. I mean, we know about the family. The wife, the mother died.
There's an Asian son and a white girl named
And a former pastor? Is that what he was? Former pastor, yeah, right?
He was a former priest or whatever you want to call it, priest or pastor, who lost his faith because his wife died.
Yeah, I thought they were annoying. Plus, I don't like Julia Lewis. I don't like her.
I don't either.
She's not even pretty. They could have got someone so much better.
She had that hick accent and shit too.
I wonder if that's we're supposed to, because Keitel had a little bit too.
Yeah, but I was just like, it doesn't make any fucking sense for some fight. They got an Asian son here. nobody in this movie was playing a hick.
Did you see the Asian son's face, Scott, when they walked into the strip club?
Happy as shit. And then Tarantino whispered to him, hey, let me know if you want to dance with any of these girls. I'll hook you up. I was like, that's the Tarantino I want to hang out with.
And then the funny thing was, when Seth goes, Kate, you're drinking a shot. It's a whiskey shot. And he tells her, and she goes, I'm not 21. He goes, that's a yes then. And the dad didn't say nothing, but he went and says to the sky, he goes, no, you're not having one.
And then remember when she had her second drink, he was like rubbing her head and everything, like, my baby, don't do it. She's like, I have another one, actually. Man, fucking Seth, man. Without him in this movie, it probably would have went ass or nowhere, to be honest.
This would have been a straight made-for-sci-fi movie like the other ones.
Yeah, I don't, because there's nobody. Like, Tarantino, I think without Clooney holding him back or whatever, and whatever ridiculousness he was going to do, his acting was pretty bad in the movie. The family, I didn't give a shit about neither one of them. I was just like, there really was no point to have them in here because they all end up dying anyway. I mean, except for Kate, but, you know.
I mean, they think they were just pretty much pawns.
Yeah, they were
to bring them to Mexico, that's it.
Yeah, they were just a fucking tool to use to get there, whatever. Like you said, a pawn to get there, and then they, basically, once they get to the bar, they just became part of the meat grinder.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, though, when the vampires attack, when the three guys, Treo, Martin as the pussy, as the doorman, and then the big gorilla guy,
Clooney wanted to fucking murder. Did you see the look at Clooney's face when he was staring at that big dude? He did not take his eyes off him, and I was just like, I don't even think Clooney's going to help Tarantino if something happens to him, because he's just so focused on hitting this dude with a fucking bottle right now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, we talked about at the part at the bar start, or when before the vampires attacked?
Before the vampire attack, when they rubbed up, when Trejo and them ran up on Tarantino and pushed him, I was like, and this pussy kicked me while I was down and shit like that. And the look in Clooney's face, he was just staring at that big dude like he was like, yeah, I'm going after his ass if some shit starts off, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which something happened because Tarantino pulls out a gun, and then I think it was Trejo, if I'm not mistaken, he stabbed him in the arm or whatever, I mean in the hand. And then Clooney just kept shooting this big dude.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not even going to help your brother, are you? So he just kept shooting. Like, dude, he put, like, at least 7 bullets in this dude. I was like, I think he's down, Clooney. I was like,
yeah, I love that Martin starts laughing, and they just look at him, and then they fire. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, because Tarantino takes, like, the knife out and starts stabbing Trejo with it. And then, like you said, he just starts laughing for no reason. And then finally, he just started looking. They looked at him, and Clooney did that head nod. That was the only first time that head nodding thing worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because he turned around like, oh, this motherfucker is not just laughing. Did you not just see what I did? And he just like, and they put like at least several bullets in his ass.
Yeah, and Harvey Keitel is the only one that noticed that the knife had green blood on it.
The knife was green itself. And the blood, because it was like a clear, glaring green or whatever.
Was it? Because it looked like kind of like a jello type thing.
Yeah, it was like the blade was like, it had like a covering around the handle or whatever, which was like a clear green.
Okay.
The blood was sliding down it, and Selma Hayek, she just got done giving one of the sexiest fucking lap dances.
That was like a 3-minute scene, too.
Oh my God.
It's like she hypnotized everyone. I don't know if that's like her vampire power, but she like hypnotized the whole place.
I think she hypnotized Rodriguez when he's behind that camera shooting this shit. Then she had to pull him. Okay, Rodriguez, are we finished? Oh, yeah, we finished.
I kind of wonder if they had, like, a thing going on, those two.
Who, Rodriguez and Hayek?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. So Hayek probably got her fame from fucking people. You know, damn sure ain't her acting or whatever, because her acting's really not, you know, it's not like...
No, she has, like, a lot of broken English.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like she's, like, I wouldn't put her in, like, the top... female actresses ever. It's just like whatever. I mean, she's honestly, to me, she got her start just by being hot, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was fucking perfect back then. She's perfect now. I mean, she still looks good or whatever. I still eat that whatever. But back then, she was just like the it girl.
Yeah. What do you think of the attack?
when she, because she saw the blood dripping from Tarantino's hand, and she just jumped on him and just bite him. And I like, because Seth is trying to shoot her, but, like, he's ran out of bullets or whatever, because he put, like, so many bullets, he's fucking fat dude. And then all you hear is Tarantino screaming, "Get this fucking bitch off me!" Now, I'm not going to lie, when she transformed, I was like, I'm still kind of sleep
deprived. But all the vampires, I mean, when Treo, Marin, and the gorilla guy, when they changed, they look like just mutants. They look like vampires.
No, the only thing you could tell that they look like vampires is because their teeth were showing. If they would have had their mouth closed, it probably would have just been like, oh, okay.
I don't know how they go from, I mean, you can look at Sex Machine, for, Kevin, or, the black guy and Harvey Keitel, when they changed, they were, like, changed to, like, a vampire, but when they get older, or maybe, then they look, like, fucking weird. They're dead. Naked.
When, Trejo, and, when, the black guy, Sex Machine, and, Harvey Keitel, Jacob, when they transform, they look dead. They look like fucking demons. They look really like their skin was, like,
they did. You're right. They look like demons.
Yeah, they look like demons, exactly, whatever, but, like, with Trejo and the big gorilla dude or whatever, they just, I don't know, it just looked like they just put some wrinkles on their face or whatever, and it didn't make really much of a difference, mm-hmm. where it just put wrinkles and some teeth.
Yeah, and all the strippers and the house band.
House band was fucking kind of funny a little bit, because I didn't know they were vampires until, like, the killing started, and then you see them playing the guitar real fast and shit, and I was like, oh, they're vampires too then.
And then they're playing it with a body part. I'm like, yeah. When the fuck did that happen? When would you take a body part from someone and put strings on it to make it a guitar?
I said, so that guitar he was playing the whole time was a human?
Yeah, all the strippers and a lot of weird scenes.
Yeah, because the this place is filled with strippers, and as soon as Selma Hayek attacks, the one stripper closes the door, she locks them or whatever. Which, by the way, I don't know why it was so hard to get out of this fucking door then.
Yeah, and when was the original plan to attack them?
That's what I was saying at the beginning. It's just like, okay, so how long is it? Obviously, they've been here for years. I don't know how long, but they've been here for years. Because they got a fucking tunnel growing out of there, and it's got multiple holes wherever. So it took them a while to build this shit. I know they didn't do this shit overnight or whatever. So, like I said, so they just decided to attack now?
I think their plan was to get everyone drunk. Mm-hmm. And then attack, because, think of it. If you were drunk off your ass, you would not put up a fight.
I love how once this whole vampire thing started too, nobody else came to this place. Like, this place, when Clooney got there, people were still coming in. Remember all the cars outside and shit like that? Mm-hmm. You remember all the bikes and trucks or whatever? But once they trapped inside, you never heard about outside ever again.
No.
Did it not look like a wasteland when George Clooney got out at the bottom? Like, I was like, what happened to all those trucks and shit?
Yeah, I 100% agree. It looked
the
weird.
The vampires move them because they didn't want... Did they move them? I don't know. Okay, whatever. I guess apparently the vampires here has some kind of diabolical plan, I guess, in order to take over Mexico. They can have Mexico. It's already been... already a shithole.
Yeah, and you get a lot of death, a lot of cool scenes. Sex Machine and Frost, who is the black guy, they have
Sex
their own...
Machine.
They
Sex
have
Machine
their own little moments.
Sex Machine gets bit because he's thinking... He's trying to help. He's smiling at Kate and shit like that. I told him, you need to focus on the goddamn hand to hand. George Clooney kills Tarantino again because he becomes a vampire.
And tell me he did not look weird. He looked like Rocky from The Mask.
It looked like they fucking made his head bigger and shit and put lines on. He looked like the devil, kind of.
Yeah, I mean,
with a horn and shit.
It looked, I mean, I'm not going to lie, that looked really cheesy. When Tarantino
changed. I do like
changed.
The effect that when you see it through Clooney's eyes, though, that he still saw his brother, mm-hmm. not this demon that they saw, or whatever. I kind of like that effect, or whatever, but that's only for like a couple of seconds, so it's like, oh, that's a nice effect that I dare, or whatever. And then when he tells Sex Machine him to hold him down, whatever, and then he just takes a stake and drives through his heart, and then he goes take a drink, and Jacob's like, we need you sober. He's just like, I just drove a fucking stake through my brother's heart right now. Now, I don't want to hear any fucking... George Clooney has the best lines in the whole goddamn movie, because he gives his speech about... He's like, you hear that noise outside? And then George Clooney just, as he's drinking, he's like, those are bats. And they were just like, bats? He was just like, and I don't want to hear any shit about nobody believes in vampires or anything like that, because I don't fucking believe in vampires, but I just saw... I believe in my fucking eyes, and I believe what I just saw, and can we all believe that we just saw vampires?
And how was the only one that knew anything about vampires was Keitel? No one knew about vampires.
because he was just a priest, and they were just trying to do a religious thing of like, this is a demon from hell, and you're a man of God, so you know you should know about defeating these things or whatever. I mean, that's about it. Everybody else was just talking about, because they were like, oh, what do we know that can beat vampires? And everybody was coming up with ideas like two crosses. I think Sex Machine said fucking silver, and someone said that's werewolves. Well, he's like, I know there, and it was like holy water and shit like that or whatever. So it was just a religious thing they were trying to throw in here.
I just thought, why was he the only one? Obviously, no one watched ever a vampire movie in their life.
Well, obviously, too, Cartel didn't know shit because they didn't tell him anything really. They just kept asking him because he was just a thing of. Once again, he's a former thing of God or whatever. They put him on some high pedestal and shit like that or whatever. So, because other than that, he didn't give no fucking information. He was just there to die, really. He didn't really have no lines or anything. Like his whole thing was just, I just need you not drunk or whatever. That's it. And kill me when it happens or whatever. Because he gets bit, too, so.
Yeah.
I do like this scene when they got all their weapons and shit. I wish it would have been better instead of Child's Play, but, you know.
Yeah, and I didn't like, I mean, those four, you have Frost, Sex Machine, Kate, Scott, Seth, and, Keitel, Jacob, they were the sole survivors, and then they had the little thing, then Sex Machine turns, bites Frost.
Did you see how he bit that, the black guy's name is Frost, yeah, how he bit Frost, how he just crawled up his back, and I was just like, he just allowed him to crawl.
and people just watched, and they were just watching from behind, they didn't warn him.
Saw that? Did he go invisible or some shit like that or whatever? I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And it was funny because the Frost was just like, you fucking bit me. And Sex Machine's like, what you gonna do, buddy? He was like, come on, Sex Machine. I was just like, this black dude belongs in like one of them blaxploitation movies. I think that's Dolomite right there.
Yeah, that's what he is. That's who he does.
That's because that damn sure looks like who he's playing right now. I don't think he gets what movie he's in right now. Especially that, what was that story he was telling them about? He was just like, I did back in Nam. So I had this little knife, and I was just cutting up. I was doing this, and they were just watching him. I was just like, man, they're wasting a lot of time right here listening to this nigga story right here.
Yeah. He's just standing there telling a story, and they're just all watching him like, this is boring.
Yeah, because the reason why the story got brought up is because the kid was like, oh, that smell is unbearable. I've never smelled anything like that. And the black dude, he's smoking a cigar. He's like, I have. You ever been in Nam? He's like, and I was like, what the fuck that got to do with anything?
You're right.
I was in Nam, and I was buried under my dead buddies or whatever, waiting for the Viet Cong to show up. And then when I finally found a sneak attack on them, I was just cutting them with this little knife I had. Just 1, 2, 3, 4. And I was just like, all right, man, you need to tell the whole goddamn story now. We need to figure out how the hell we're going to get out of here now. Ain't story time with black guy, okay?
Yeah, and then this is where the movie took a really weird turn. They have like a, they go to that tunnel, they get their weapons.
Montage scene and shit, like I guess the vampires have been taking the weapons off the trucks and shit. I'm assuming it's the vampire, because the vampires run the bar, right?
Yeah, I mean, you had a bow and arrow, Kate had a gun, you had condoms filled with holy water because Jacob blessed it.
I never understood that shit. It's like, hey, you bless some water and it turns into, okay, alright, I guess.
Seth had like a,
he made like a
jackhammer.
Yeah, it was a jackhammer, but it didn't have like the metal part in it, so he took like a piece of wood that he broke off a chair and just like sharpened it up and stuck it. I was like, that's probably the best weapon in that whole goddamn thing.
And then they use the cross, which, okay, they use a cross, they hold the two things into a cross, and they block them, they take all the vampires out of the hallway. But then Keitel does that to the black guy, and the black guy just pushes it away. I'm like, that kind of negates what just happened.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are they stronger vampires or something? Like, they don't look like these. Because the other ones that they were killing just look like regular minions. They look like minions. They were just like little demons and shit like that. And then, like, with Sex Machine and them, it looked like they became, like head of the vampires and shit. Because Sex Machine, even when he died, he turned into some, like, dog-like troll creature looking thing or whatever and shit, and I was just like, why is he able to do that?
It looked like a rat.
Yeah, like a rat troll-like creature.
And how did the black guy got, Jacob put a gun through his stomach, and a cool thing, he shot the vampires that were behind him. That was kind of cool, he was using. And then the black guy just turns into goo. What the fuck is that?
I didn't understand that at all, neither, whatever, because, like, he runs out of bullets as he's shooting the vampires through the black guy, whatever, and then he takes the gun out because he runs out, he's about to hit the guy with him, mm-hmm. and you're thinking the black guy's going to attack him, but then he just turned into goo, and I was just like, I'm kind of lost right there, so I'm just going to throw an excuse out front. Are they saying that because the shotgun was so hot, it burned his heart? I don't.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking,
too. That's ridiculous.
Too.
I don't. Why would he turn into goo? That didn't even make any fucking sense, whatever. Like, he literally just turned to goo and just ran up. And then this is when Jacob turns, and, like, the sister, she could have easily, Kate, she could have killed her father. It's like, no, don't do it. And then he bites the fuck out of that Asian boy or whatever and shit. That Asian boy didn't have no trouble putting his ass down. I was just like, eh, well.
No, and then there's like, what, six vampires feeding on Scott, the Asian guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, kill me, Kate. And she does, and then they all blow up. I'm like, what the fuck?
See, it took her a while, too, because she was just like, no, I don't want it. He's like, and he had to say, kill me, Kate, like three times. And I'm just like, bitch!
That's the one thing I could not understand. This place is filled with vampires. Obviously, Scott's getting eaten, like, right in front of Kate. Kate's focusing on Scott. Seth is doing his own thing.
They should have ate her ass.
And where would, why, you know, that's the thing I hate about movies, is that no one's, it's always one-on-one. I mean, they,
yeah, like, you're right, this place is covered with vampires, and, like, she runs out of crossbows, finally, because she only had four in the first fucking place. The brother, after he takes some holy water balloon and smash it across his fucking head or whatever and shit over the father, he gets, like, picked up literally by, like, a couple of vampires, and they're eating the fuck out of him, and she rolls and grabs the gun that he dropped, and he's like, kill me, Kay, and she's like, she's shaking with the gun and shit like that. I was like, by the time she would have shot that off, she would have been eaten by now or whatever and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she shoots, I'm assuming she shot her brother, I don't know, but then he, like, everybody blows up in that area. I was just like, that didn't make any sense.
It didn't. It's just Rodriguez, you know, doing, you know, getting gory. That's what he does.
And Rodriguez is known for doing Mexicans, like, you've heard of blaxploitation films, obviously, right?
That's uh-huh.
But he's known for doing Spanish exploitation films, whatever, and I can see him trying to do some elements in that with this film, but I'm just like, it didn't start off with this craziness that you got going on here, so I don't see why you had to add these elements of a exploitation film in it, especially when your fucking lead actor isn't even Mexican.
No, I mean, it's the movie started off very strong, and then it got really campy.
Mm-hmm.
It turned into, like, one of those made-for-TV movies.
Yeah, because it starts off with Clooney and him blowing up that gas station, and you're like, oh, okay, this is going to be like a fucking a Billy the Kid movie, a Butch and Sundance, something like that, whatever. And then when it gets to the family, you just like, oh, it's one of these movies. They team up and the bad guy's going to figure out he's been wrong, I guess, or whatever, because this family is nice or whatever, or he's been with the family long enough. And then it just turned to a vampire film, and I'm just like, okay, now it just turned into some cheap level, some cheap mm-hmm. level B-TV movie now.
Yeah, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, so finally, it's just him and Seth and Kate left or whatever. And then you hear, once again, someone beating on the door. Finally, I was like, where's everybody at or whatever? And it was funny because Kate's like, you want me to save the last bullets for us, Seth? He says, no, I want you to use it on the next motherfucker that tries to bite you. Well, we did another movie once again where one actor is holding it together. That's Clooney. That's for me, because Clooney uh-huh. was just selling this show.
Well, the reason why you said somebody bangs on the door is because this place, I guess it's like, it opens, it's like,
Dust Till Dawn.
It's one of those places that I think they lock you in during the night. You ever heard of those bars?
Yeah, I've heard of those bars.
I think this is what this is.
It opens from Dust Till Dawn. It's like the name of the movie, whatever. Like, they open.
But wouldn't someone drive by and, like, oh, I'm going to get a beer at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever?
Yeah, it's from. It is Mexico, so.
Yeah.
Nowadays, nothing closes in Mexico.
No, so. And then.
I live in California, trust me. They be out on those little Mexican trucks or whatever selling tacos till fucking 3 a.m. in the morning. I know, because I stopped and grabbed one.
Yeah.
Because they're always crowded, dude. If you came to the area, Long Beach Boulevard or whatever, they got the little Spanish trucks, 2 a.m. usually when I usually go home or whatever and shit like that, after I done got done partying or whatever and shit, I pass by, I'd be like, it is crowded as shit, right? They must serve some good-ass tacos there or something or whatever. So I pulled over one time. I was like, I'm hungry. Let me get some.
It's funny. Like, at the end, Kate wants to go with Seth because they're going to El Rey.
I don't blame her.
And he goes, "Do you ever been to El Rey? It's a very dangerous place." What the fuck did she just been through this past night? You know,
I don't... Well, he didn't tell her it was a danger. He just said, "You ever been to El Rey?" And she's like, "No." And he was just like, "Go home, Kate." And I was like, "Fuck going home."
What has she just been through for the past hours with you that she pretty much helped save your life too?
I don't know. She saved his life. She didn't really.
She did it with that. She did it with that fucking rat sex machine. She shot him, and he kicked her. He kicked the rat off.
Oh, that didn't mean shit though. Like, that's it. How many times he saved her ass? That's it. Just saved that rat. The rat never got to him. If anything, so not like she really saved. She helped.
She helped. Yeah.
Save him. She helped.
Okay, but
fucking drill in her mouth or whatever.
He gives her cash and the RV to drive away.
I wouldn't took that fucking RV. Might be hiding in that motherfucker.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
I would have took that motherfucker. I would have been. I don't. How do you just go home after some shit like that?
And what do you do when you cross the border when you're all beat up to shit? What do you?
And blood.
Do you have anything?
Bloody and shit.
Do you have anything to clear?
It's like you got a stack because he gave her like 3 or 4 stacks of money and shit. It's a lot too. So I'm imagining it's illegal drug money. You got legal drug money. You're covered in blood, and I'm just assuming out of the way it's gonna be the same border patrol. They're gonna be like, "Oh, where's your family at?" or whatever. They got eaten by vampires. Step out of the car, miss. step out of the car, whatever. I would have told Seth the same thing. Hey, man, you need some company, dude?
I know. He could have tapped that shit.
I wouldn't want that. It's like George Clooney. You know what? That was George Clooney acting, but he just looked at them and was like, "No, that's okay. I'm not into feet like Tarantino is."
I think he was being like the good guy and saying, "Go home."
Mm-hmm. Just go home. You don't need to be... Because I would assume that Clooney just go off and do whatever it is he was just doing, so...
And how bad's El Rey compared to the Titty Twister?
Because you gotta remember, from Dusk Till Dawn, that bar is like... That's not like all the way into Mexico, where the Titty Twister was at, so... it doesn't get worse as it goes... Why the fuck would he want to go to El Rey? I like Clooney just like washes it off like... another day.
Another day, yeah.
So what'd you give this movie?
I'm going to give it a low medium bag.
Yeah.
And like I said, the movie started off very strong with Tarantino and Clooney. And I liked that Clooney was the nice one that held Tarantino together. The family I didn't give a shit about. And then that it got really sci-fi-ish, really weird things, but... It's not a bad movie. It's
what you've been saying earlier. It's just a B movie.
Yeah, it's just a B movie. I would say this should have maybe been a straight to DVD. Mm-hmm. But I would say back in 96, this is with all the movies that are coming out that year. This fit. So yeah, it's not a bad movie, but
You know what? For me, I'm gonna give it a rent it. I mean, we have a lot of complaints about the movie, but I don't really hate the film necessarily. I remember I kind of grew up in this film in a way. I saw this when I was younger or whatever, and still watch it today. I love Clooney's character. Clooney, man, he's like Denzel in Remember the Titan. He holds the movie together over everybody else's either non-interesting acting or just bad acting in that matter or whatever, because a lot of characters in here were just not interesting at all, like, especially the family. I was just like, I don't give a fuck about his... Because they try to keep, like, that whole thing about the being a pastor and priest and shit, I was like, I don't give a fuck about that.
They didn't show the wife, so I didn't give a shit about the wife.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care why he gave up being a pastor or anything like that. That ain't got shit to do right now with being attacked by vampires. Like, because Clooney's having this conversation, and he's like, "We need that servant of God back. You need to help us," right? And he's shaking his head like, "I can't be a servant of God after a while." I was like, "Dude, do you not realize what situation you are in right now? You're being attacked by vampires. I bet anybody motherfucker would be like, you know what? I am back a servant of God again." But yeah, I gave it a rent it.
Yeah, is this the type of movie that you would... This is probably one of those movies, like, I haven't seen this movie in a while, and this is kind of like what it is, like, you see it maybe every so often, like, every, like, maybe year or two.
I own this on Blu-ray, actually, too, and...
I don't own it, I had to stream it.
I own it, and it's on Netflix for streaming as well, whatever.
No, it's not!
Nah, I don't watch it as much. Maybe it probably is once a year. I've probably seen it every now and then. Because it usually it used to come on TV a lot.
It did. Sure. It did. Have you ever seen the other ones?
Yeah, I didn't.
two is not bad, because I like Robert Patrick. I like him. And then it got really stupid as the series.
I want to say they tried to make a TV show out of it, too.
I think you might be right.
I don't think it lasts. I think it might last just a pilot episode. But I remember seeing something of it. Like, it might have been not the same thing, but it was similar to what it was. Was it about or whatever in it? I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think the third one came out, what, 99 or some shit like that?
You mean The Hangman's Daughter came out in late 2010.
Damn, that's the name of that movie?
Oh, 99. You're right. Sorry. It said that they're producing a fourth one.
Yeah, oh.
But it said it's not been revealed, so, as of August 2012.
Oh, they can give that shit up then.
But Danny Trejo's been in all three of them.
Yeah, two and third sucked ass to a straw or whatever.
Bruce Campbell was in it.
I'll see if George Clooney wasn't in it.
I agree with you. This is kind of just like Remember the Titans. If Denzel wasn't in that and Clooney wasn't in this, they would not be good.
Yeah, my rating would probably be a low streaming if Clooney wasn't in it, because Clooney had some lines in there that I was just laughing at. And it was like, I like this guy a lot. I like the elements of him where he's calm demeanor to becoming a badass, and like, you just don't want to fuck with this guy, you know?
And I actually like he looked badass with those tattoos going up his neck, and he looked badass.
Yeah, he had the little jacket on, had the vest on or whatever and shit. I think he could have kicked Desperado's ass.
Yeah, he looked cool. I liked Clooney. I liked Clooney a lot in this movie.
Yeah, ready to get in comments now?
Yes, sir.
So the movie fucker, he's fucking those movies like always. He says, "Why, TPO, I can't believe you didn't ooze his line when he first shows up." No, that nigga did not just do his a pun. And that line was, "I smell teenagers." Oh my god. You remember that line, dude?
That would have been funny if he would have been sent like when Pink Ranger went up to him. He goes, "I smell a girl." I'm like, "Is she on her period?"
Oh, it would have been funny if the Yellow Ranger showed up. "I smell a nigga." "I smell a nigga."
No, he goes, he should have goes, "I smell cotton."
You know what you should have said? Because the Power Rangers have been all around for years, like decades and shit like that, according to Ivan Ooze being around and Zordon and shit like that. It would have been funny if he'd have said, like, "Oh, well, look at you. They're making black." He's like, "Now, darling, back in my time, y'all was served for helping Zordon. Y'all wasn't put the costume."
Oh my god.
But he says, "For the next Throwback Tuesday, can you please do Con Air? There's so many things to make fun of in that movie, like Nicolas Cage accent, how stupid and abusive the authority figures were, yet it was always sad when they died, or it was a priority to keep them alive. Typical plot. Seriously, do that movie for next Throwback Tuesday. You have such a good time ripping it apart." What are we going to get in return, movie fucker, if we do that movie?
Nothing. There you go.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. He's one of my he's one of the guys that reviews movies for my site, so he does pretty good for me.
Ooh.
Huh?
Ooh.
Movie fucker.
No, he doesn't. You think of somebody else. Ain't the movie fucker.
That's not the movie fucker.
No, you don't even know who works on your
site. I know who works for my site, but I thought he went by the movie fucker.
No, he didn't. This is Seth.
Oh. I thought that was the movie fucker.
No. Damn, you don't even know who the fucker
is. Shut up.
That is some sad shit right there, man. But movie fucker's been a movie spoiler fanatic since, I don't know, the other guy you thinking of is, and it's the Beefcake himself. Or
oh, okay.
God damn, Liz. Man, hey, work for Z, people. You forget you even work for them.
They're all black to me.
How the fuck do I know who worked for you and you don't? Ain't that a bitch?
Shut up.
Shit. Man.
Con Air, huh?
Don't give a fuck.
Con Air, huh?
Con Air, that movie was horrible.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, it's like what? It's another. This is a B movie. This is a C movie, then, Con Air.
No, I wouldn't say it's a C movie.
Yeah, it is. Well,
dude, it has big. Horrible? It had huge stars in it.
I don't give a shit. That don't mean shit. Nicolas Cage was horrible in it. and by the way, you like shitty movies anyway, so you is not up to debate with me on what's bad or not.
I've
heard some of the shit you've liked.
Mortal Instruments.
Yeah, that's one. Oh, damn near one of them. Whatever. And you're the only person I've ever heard say Kristen Stewart is not wrong for Twilight. Like, what? She's the worst fucking part of that fucking movie. Whatever. You think she's an okay actress? Whatever.
Whatever. Go to the next comment.
Yeah, I can go to the next comment. I can keep going if you want. I can keep going. Jay Johnson, he makes a reply to Movie Fucker. He says, good point, Movie Fucker. P1 didn't say that line. That was one of the weirdest lines in the film. Yeah, it was I Smell Nigger. Also, that wasn't a bad Ivan Ooze impersonation, TPO. You sure you didn't get cast as Ivan instead of a ranger? No, I think I was like, when this movie came out, I was like 9, 10 or something. So I don't think I had that man voice I have today now that you people, lovely people here today, so... Now, if I did Ivan Ooze or whatever, I would have made him a racist. Because he had this look about him where I kind of got like a racist vibe off him.
To teenagers.
Because he was enslaving parents and shit, and he had a whip and everything like that. So I was just like, you know, if there were some black parents in this movie, which there wasn't, I don't know why. Where was the Black Ranger's parents at? I don't know, but, you know, whatever. So, and Black Ranger, I mean like the black lady, not the actual black costume ranger, but and then, you know, Boogie with the bear, that's racist too.
Yeah.
And they got that bitch jock talking like it's a jive, like I was just waiting for her to say that's a jive turkey right there, fool. She was almost 2 seconds away from saying, woo, that's a badass outfit, man. She should have said that when they put those new costumes on.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well. Next comment here, Darren, he says, wow, now that's the P1 rant. I have to agree with you guys on that, and you make some very good points on criticizing bigger films. See, you also make some good points for TPO when you said he sees 5 films a week. I mean, my God, that's a lot of movies. How do you do it, TPO? I get drunk. I drink a lot, so it helps deal with the pain.
Especially, was it a couple weeks ago that there was 5 bad movies you had to watch?
Was it?
It was like either a couple weeks ago or a month ago. You gotta watch like 5 bad movies.
Yeah, I remember it was a 4 movie release, and I don't even remember what it was now.
And it was a very bad tour. I think it was a very bad week.
God, I don't even remember that week now. Oh, it was when R.I.P.D. Red. It was when I was at Comic Con. It was that week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but it wasn't that bad because I had Friday, so that was good. So,
oh yeah.
But it was R.I.P.D. Red 2. What was the other one? R.I.P.D.
Was it Airplanes? Or Planes?
No, it wasn't. Planes came out after. I'm not, damn, I can't remember. Something else came out with that, too, whatever. I know The Conjuring, R.I.P.D., Red 2, and it was another... Oh, it was Turbo!
Oh, yeah. But you didn't do your show with for Conjuring.
No, but I hated the movie still, though.
I just thought you were too... I thought when I listened to the show, I thought you were just too scared to see it.
No, well, that too, whatever. Niggas don't stay around ghosts and shit like that, whatever. And, Turbo was alright. I didn't mind it that much. And I was like, oh, that guy's alright. But Red 2 and R.I.P.D. R.I.P.D. was shit, and Red 2 was just unbelievable bullshit, whatever.
You just do a lot of substances before the movies.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just say this. None of them was a see it, so obviously I didn't give a fuck about none of them. But you know what? This week we had 4 movies, and, 2 of them were good. One of them was animated, and it was just decent. And the other one was just, I can't believe niggas are still making these films. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's how that takes over there. But it's just, you know, you realize you got to put, you got to do a show. You got to do reviews. You can't just flake out 1 week and be like, oh, I'll be back next week or whatever. You know, you got to, I don't believe in doing that shit. Regardless if I want to do it or not, whatever. I know I got to still put up a show or something like that, so... And plus, it's just motivation and hardworking and bullshit like that, I guess. I don't know. Whatever you want to hear, kid. That's how I do it. I just get my lazy ass up and do it.
Yeah.
Next comment here comes from Roland Winchell. Winchell Donuts.
Roland's a great name.
I know it is. It really is.
He sounds like a guy that's, like, rich.
Sounds like a guy from the 70s of the Great Gatsby's time period. Like, he's just rolling in fancy cars, nice suits and shit, going to these extravagant parties, driving one of those old cars, hitting on women, talking about old sport, you know, shit like
is that. Is that the line you kept making Lehu say?
Yeah, I still make him say that. Every time he calls me, I'm like, you better fucking say it, man, before you get off this phone. He's white, he has to say it. Say it, Z.
Old sport.
Oh, my God. Sounds so amazing when white people say it. I'd be your slave if you said that. But he says, I just absolutely love this episode. Your reaction, this film was just, your reaction, to, I'm assuming he say this, to mean to say, to this film was just priceless. And it was just funny hearing P1 imitate people and Z just asking questions that everyone wonders. Did you guys ever think you'd be reviewing a Power Rangers film?
Fuck no.
No, hell. Damn. Damn, did you read this question ahead?
Well, yeah, but, yeah, I've seen them, but. No, when we did the Throwback Tuesday, I never thought Power Rangers was going to be one of those movies.
Did you ever think, even with Eye Open Pictures or anything, like, did you be reviewing a Power Rangers movie?
No. That was like the least movie I've ever expected. You can say the same thing for I Saw the Devil or IP Man or Ip Man. I never expected to see those, do movies about those.
Those movies were good, though. Power Rangers.
I thought when we kind of came up with this, I thought we were going to do movies, like, big movies.
Yeah, well, hey, this is big, $66 million. I mean, shit, off a, what was it, $16 million budget film? Shit, that's pretty huge.
Where did the budget go for that movie?
It went to those robots. Okay. The Matrix came out 3 years after his fucking Power. You mean to tell me that the fucking effects was looking that goddamn bad? Damn. You know what? No, because Titanic came out. Oh, wait, no. It came out after this, whatever. Okay, well, there had to be some movies.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, whatever. The effects in that looked amazing compared to. I understand that Power Rangers is a corny TV show and shit, but that don't mean you gotta make the fucking movie corny and shit. I was like, I don't even. You know what? Maybe they just didn't expect them to make that much money on it. I don't know.
And then the budget was $63 million for Jurassic Park.
Damn, really?
Jeff Goldblum was probably a good $5 million of that.
Then never mind, Power Rangers. You got no fucking excuse to You got no fucking excuse there because oh man, no,
but they had Steven Spielberg directing and he was probably a big part of that budget too.
Yeah, I was gonna say Spielberg was attached to it. I think the biggest name in this goddamn Power Rangers movie was Saban, whatever that shit's called. Saban, whatever that shit's called. No, I never expected to review a Power Rangers movie. I remember when I texted Z that or whatever, and I told him about it. The reaction to that is priceless. I caught him off guard, if I'm not mistaken.
You did. You're like, what? Let me look back and see what I said. It wasn't that long ago.
No, it was like it was last week.
Oh, we talked about Rush. Shit, I went too far back.
I got it.
Oh, I said, so, oh my god.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I got it. Yeah, so you said, what was your next pick? So I was about to say, it's about to get interesting. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. He said, oh my god, hello. I have no idea what to pick. that was a good moment right there. Oh, you want to hear something else, too? I guess I haven't shared this with you, too. You're going to laugh at this, but Power Rangers and Battle of the Year are the two most viewed episodes on the ZAM site.
What the fuck? You mean Power Rangers has more hits than, what was the first, what was the one, Transformers, wasn't it? Or was it Summer, or Summer Review?
Yeah, Summer Review. Service.
You mean Power Rangers topped that one?
Yeah, it's neck and neck. It'll beat that by the end of the week.
Oh my god. I mean, let me look at my site, because I post reviews on my, I post the stuff on my site, what the top one is. Oh my god, that all year too? What the fuck?
I told Lehu that, and he's just like, my fucking, he said the same thing you did, he said, my god. I was like, yeah, I don't know why Battle of the Year, well, I was like, maybe because Battle of the Year, there not too many sites have a review for it, I don't know, and people just wanted to make fun of it, and then Power Rangers, nobody's doing a fucking review.
Breaking Dawn has 81 hits off my site.
Okay, so yeah, Power Rangers.
Power Rangers has 18, and that's just this week. But Breaking Dawn's got 81.
Power Rangers, man, biggest. Once again, I bring the hits. Power Rangers brought the hit. Power Rangers brought the hits this time. Boogie in with the Bear brought the hits. Ivan Ooze, I Smell Children brought the hits. You know, I mean, skydiving perfectly brings the hits. Fucked up looking CG robots bring the hits.
A very hot pink ranger brought the hits.
Yeah, ass hugger jeans. Brock hits. Oh, man.
Being racist brought the hits.
Yes. Tommy fucking the Pink Ranger, then the film brought the hits. Doing those hand movements brought the hits.
You know what that would have been funny? If they just recycled their, from the TV show where the dinosaurs came out, or the Power Zords, or whatever they were called, came out from the mountains. And they'll just recycle that from the TV show and put it in the movie.
They never called those Zords in the movie.
No, because they got new ones. Because they got new ones.
Yeah, they got those new ones and shit like that, whatever. Which I wonder, I'm curious where they come from now.
They come out of people's asses.
You think when Tommy fucks the Pink Ranger, he makes those noises and hand effects and shit?
when he's about to come, he goes, "White saber-tooth tiger."
White power. Pterodactyl.
She's on top of him doing pterodactyl.
She's moving her hand, moving. Pterodactyls. Underage sex is always the best.
Now, you people have to stop encouraging TPO with these outrageous movies for me to watch. He picks movies that it takes me forever to find. I mean, you cannot find Power... I did not see it until Sunday, the day we recorded the show, because I had to fucking travel all around Toledo to try to find it.
5 fucking minutes into the movie, you was like, "I fucking hate you." I was like,
I had to pay for a $1 movie. I had to pay my late fee. And I'm like, "Fuck you, TVO. Fuck you." Thankfully, I didn't have to pay my full late fee. I just had to put some of it down.
You know what the problem with picking Power Rangers, though, is? I don't think it can get any crazier than that.
I'm sure you can.
Until you see my list for the rest of the year. But anyway.
I'm sure you can.
Oh, I have something that can top that. Don't you worry. You can look at some of this shit and be like, "All right, we can't do that, man. Because I can't be going around Toledo looking for..."
I'm going to have to, like, make a new rule that I can veto a movie.
One of these polls, I'm just going to put question marks on it and just be like, "Even C doesn't even know what it is."
Well, one of them has to be my movie, so I have to know what that is.
Oh, that's right. Well, yours will be known. Mine will just have question marks, and Z won't even know until the polling's over. There you go.
Well, I never know when the polling's over. Jesus Christ.
You want to see Power Rangers 2?
No!
You want to see Turbo? Power Rangers Turbo when they get the cars?
No. We haven't done a sequel yet, have we? No. I mean, like two movies of the same series yet.
Like only two movies, not like a trilogy?
Well, like, you know, like we've done Transformers 3. We haven't done like Transformers 1 or 2. We haven't done Scream 2, 3 or 4. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah, because we like to be different and branch off. We don't want to do the fucking same. We did It Man 2.
No, we didn't.
I know, I'm just joking with you. I was going to see what she's going to say. But anyway, I was going to say was, usually when we do those, we do bring up the sequels in those reviews, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah, because I know in Scream we brought up the rest of the Screams, and even in Transformers.
Yes, Transformers we did.
And in It Man, I brought up It Man too.
And 3. That wasn't even released yet.
Even released yet, but... Next comment here comes from Cynthia. She says, "Seeing how The Wolf on Wall Street may be pushed by early next year, do you guys think Leonardo DiCaprio deserves to be nominated for Best Actor for The Great Gatsby?"
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
I would say yes. I mean, shit.
He looks amazing in Wolf of Wall Street, though.
And plus, there's a meme going online of him doing that dancing movement. They're saying, "Please make this movie come out at the end of the year so we can see Leonardo DiCaprio do more of this." And he's like pop locking.
Why are they going to push it?
What?
Why are they going to push it back?
Oh, because Martin Scorsese's not finished with editing. He says he has the movie ready, but it's 3 hours long.
Holy shit.
So he said he needs to sit down and edit it a lot.
Well, when's the cutoff for Oscars? Is that December?
They said that until Christmas.
Okay, so it's not going to be released this year then? Because editing does take a while.
Well, he said he... he wants to get it done around the week before Christmas or whatever.
So it's not probably limited release just to get the Oscar.
Just to get the Oscar nominated or whatever. But it's either that or he'll have to settle for early next year or whatever. But at the same time, the people are writing on the internet, leave Martin Scorsese alone so he can get this finished editing.
I would say just release it in like the big cities, and mm-hmm. then you can get the Oscar nod and just do big release, like what Zero Dark Thirty did.
Or what like Silver Linings Playbook did.
That got released naturally
in September.
In September, and it came out what, November or late October?
Yeah, like late October. It got the release, and then it got a re-release, and when January came around.
Yeah, it did.
So yeah, I would say just do release the 3-hour cut, or just call it the director's cut or whatever, and shit like that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, release it to the big cities. That way, it can at least be like, oh, it got released this year, and then just do your final editing and re-release it back in November or whatever or December.
It does, because it actually looks really good. And that's been one of the movies I've been looking for.
Leonardo DiCaprio and fucking Matthew McConaughey look amazing, and I was like, I've never seen Leonardo DiCaprio look this energetic and shit or whatever. He's like, it just looks awesome.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's one of the movies I've been waiting to see this year. This is one of those movies, and I did not know anything about it might be getting pushed back, so that kind of sucked. And
that just recently happened, either a week or 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a nice cast. Jonah Hill's in it, and obviously, if he's as good as he was in Hardball or Moneyball, I'm excited for it.
Well, he's got 3 months, so I mean, he's got time. I mean, he's not doing shit else or whatever. Especially since he said he's just putting all of his time into the movie now, editing. So I mean, I think he could pull it off.
I will, and he's got now 3 months to get it done.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, if he just sits his ass there and just starts working on his day and at night, whatever, he could have it done end of November if he wanted to.
Because I don't think he's got anything upcoming.
And he shouldn't be worried about that, because this is the one that could be nominated for the Oscars, so he should.
Well, he's got, I'm looking at his thing, he's got Revenge of the Green Dragon.
Yeah, you should go ahead and fuck that. Easy. When I first saw this, I thought it was a sequel to Great Gatsby because Leonardo DiCaprio was playing another rich kid. I was like, oh, is this a sequel to Great Gatsby? It looks colorful and everything.
Oh, well, he's just executive producer on all those. He's not director like he was on those.
I would personally, before this weekend of movies, I would have personally said Leonardo DiCaprio was the best actor for an Oscar right now, whatever, for Great Gatsby movie. Like, that movie is just is a mindfuck for your ass. It's like one of the best romance stories I've seen. Well, not the best, but like it was just like, it's just amazing what they did in that movie. My uncle and my mom was watching. I went over to her house last weekend, I think right after we finished this show or whatever, and they were watching it because I gave it to her. And my uncle was just sitting there and was just like, this is some shit that'll fuck with your mind. I was just looking at him. I was like, you like that, don't you? He's like, I need to go home. He's like, I gotta watch this at home by myself or something. I was like, yeah, that shit'll fuck with your head at the end of the movie, won't it?
I'm kind of curious to see it, but I really do not like the girl in it.
What's her name?
Carrie Mulligan.
Carrie Mulligan, yeah, Carrie Mulligan.
I don't like her.
Oh my god, well then you'll like this movie then, what they do to her character.
Really?
Because you know why? You'll like to hate her. That's why. You'll just be like, that fucking bitch. Oh, I want to kick her ass now, whatever and shit. That's amazing. Because the reaction I had at the beginning of it, I was just like, oh, I like that relationship that she has with Leo. But at the end of the movie, you're just kind of like, that bitch deserves anything that's bad is going to happen to her. I hope she gets into it. I don't want to spoil it for you because, you know,
no.
I want you to see the movie. So
yeah, I kind of, it's on my list of things to do.
I say you should see it, though. But yes, Leo should be nominated there. And last comment we have here, Stacy, she says, she thinks my voice is hot. She said it on the last episode, too, by the way. I got something you guys can review. It's a small little thing called the Negro Hunter, LOL. We get to hear P1's hot voice become Chris Tucker screaming for help. What do you say, Z, P1?
Well, I was there in spirit when they were filming the Negro Hunter.
He was sleeping through the whole thing.
Because I had to take you to the airport.
Z must have been really fucking tired. He was making a lot of noise. He was just passed out on his couch. And I wanted to wake you up because I was like, you got to see what we do. But I was like, I ain't going to bother him. I know he was all last the night before. He was on that movie all night and shit like that. So I was just like,
And I worked the night before.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I'm not going to sleep away. And then he got to wake up, take me to the airport and shit like that, whatever. Which, that wasn't me. I didn't say you take me to the airport or whatever. I didn't say that. I would have just took a cab. I didn't really give a shit.
Cabs, they don't send cabs out of the swamp.
I was about to say, they don't send cabs to black people, but, yeah. But, yeah, the Negro Hunter. See, we can't review that, Stacy, for the simple fact that it's about 40 seconds long.
And it's where it would be bias.
And it just consists of the boy Wonder laughing at the end when he took his... I showed people that video. They was like, he couldn't hold it together, could he? I was like, you should have seen him in that mask. I heard him laughing when I was... He was causing me to laugh. I couldn't hold it. That was awesome, though. I remember when Husky put the photo together when we took the pictures in front of the blue screen you guys had.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was editing the photo, like chopping our faces up in half. And then he put it at the bottom, Rolling Stones magazine, Django Hunter. Django and Chang meets brother, undercover brother. And just the Negro Hunter. The boy Wonder told me, y'all wrote a script for that shit as soon as I left.
I don't know.
Yeah, he said him and Husky wrote something together or whatever, and I was like, let's make a web series. Let's make a web series. Because when Z was sleeping all the time, we just kept coming up with all kinds of ideas we could do as that was, like, racially insulting.
I'm very, very positive it was racially insulting.
Yeah, well, it's not that insulting because I was in it, and I was the main one doing the insulting about it. Oh, well, I don't know about that part where Nathan picks up some dirt by the train tracks and goes, I smell nigga. I don't know about that part. That was pretty racially insulting, but funny at the same time.
Yeah.
So what do you say, Z? You want to review Negro Hunter?
It's 40 seconds long. There's no point to it.
Oh, you just wait till that's a big hit web series. You just wait and see. Just wait and find out. Actually, I told Lehu about it. He came up with some ideas for it, too.
Oh, my God. Do you say old sport?
Yeah. No, I'm going to have him dress up like Tarantino.
From Django?
Hey, yeah, except he's going to be wearing a Wu-Tang t-shirt. I said, man, we need to hurry up and get back with these guys so we can start filming this. <'Cause it's, laughs> Yeah. Cult classic. We can do it behind the socks back. That way he doesn't know that we're using your company to, you know, do something racially. And so, I already laughed at it, though. I already was laughing in tears or whatever, and I was like, oh, good.
I have no idea.
Yeah, because you're not in the in crowd anymore. You're just the one-man band man now.
Mm-mm. That's very much true.
Yeah, well, hey, you always got Lehu. You don't have me, because I don't really like you that much, so.
I don't talk to Lehu.
Oakley,
I have the movie fucker. I mean, Uncaged Beefcake.
He's like, he hates zombies. Fuck him. Well, people, once again, that was another Throwback Tuesday episode. I'm the phenomenal one, of course.
MoviespoilersPodcast.com.
I don't need to say that. They already know the fucking thing. It's on my goddamn site anyway. So.
This is Z from thefancritic.com.
Man, you already said that in the opening.
What? Well, I gotta promote my site. Jeez.
Excuse me.
Well, sorry that, like, you know, 34,000 hits don't really, you know, impress me much.
Yeah, they don't impress me that much because I do triple that. But anyway.
You're an asshole.
Later, everyone.
Later.
Now I know the secret more. You think you're a terrible girl, but you'll be there and rule again, yeah. In my heart, the deep and dark and lonely heart. Waters her and waits for after dark.